the Old Testament book of Isaiah. We're in the 53rd chapter. We've been looking at this servant song of the prophet that has to do with the suffering Christ. No doubt you will have heard of Princeton Seminary and the famous J.A. Alexander of Princeton fame, at the time when it was truly a bastion of orthodoxy and not a place of unbelief and apostasy like today, said of the two verses, Isaiah 53 verses 5 and 6, if vicarious suffering could be described in words, it is so described in these two verses. And that is the theme here. Verses 5 and 6, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. As we said last time, the theme of this section of the song, verses 4 through 6, is the divine substitute. It has been described as the holiest of all of Isaiah's prophecy because it sets forth the very heart of the gospel message. And that message is the message of substitution. Christ died for, he died on the behalf of, and in the stead of his people. Substitution. And again, it's clear from any perusal of the New Testament scriptures that these words of Isaiah actually do refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's those verses in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we quoted last time, which talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Undoubtedly, Peter had in his mind those verses in the prophet. Now, the words of Isaiah 53, verse 6, should be memorized. I suppose you could say that of all of the scripture, but I think it's a really good verse to learn. It's one of the best verses to teach a child from earliest days, and I would say, personally, it's probably one of the first texts of scripture I ever learned off by heart, and with good reason. Because in this verse, you have, in a nutshell, the gospel of God's grace. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. There you have the problem of sin, and there you have the remedy for that sin. What are the two great things set forth in all true gospel preaching? They are, of course, the things of sin and salvation. Or as one man put it, our misery and its cure or its remedy. And there can be no gospel preaching, there can be no genuine evangelism, where there is no exposition of these two great subjects, sin and salvation. I think there are those who want to get to the theme of salvation before they deal with the subject of sin. And people don't know what they're being saved from. You've got to preach, as the old preachers did, the law and the gospel. The law shows us our sin. The gospel shows us the remedy for our sin. Now, in that sense, we might say the gospel is not simplistic, but it is nonetheless a simple, straightforward message. I heard of a preacher one time who was accused of being able to complicate John 3:16. And that's not a good thing. That's not a feather in your cap. That's a really bad criticism. In preaching the gospel, we should strive for simplicity so that the youngest child in the midst can understand, at least on the face of it, what is being said. And in preaching the gospel, we set forth two great things. You might call these things the bad news and the good news. The bad news is the news that tells us about our misery in sin. And the good news is the message of God's mercy in salvation. And that's the message of Isaiah 53 verse 6. Here's a summary of the gospel, if you like. And that's what I want us to talk about tonight. Let's think in the first place of the bad news. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. This is a description of all men. The analogy is given here of sheep that have strayed. Lost sheep. And by the way, there's no more pitiful sight than a lost sheep. I was over there in Northern Ireland, as you know, recently, and I love to drive around the countryside and see those rolling hills on which there are dotted everywhere little white specks. They're sheep. They're everywhere. One evening I went to a service in a particular church, and in that area, it's very much a beautiful area in the foothills of the Mourne Mountains. My brother-in-law is from there, and he was with me in the car along with my sister and other members of the family, and he was like a little kid in a toy store because this was his home territory. And he had great delight in pointing out all these little country roads to me and where they led to and who lived there and all of that stuff. He grew up in that area. But he grew up on a sheep farm, not surprisingly, because that's all there is there. Sheep and more sheep and still more sheep. Thousands upon thousands of them. But there's no more pathetic sight than a poor sheep that has gotten lost. Do you know that when a dog gets lost or a cat gets lost, usually they find a way to get back home? Usually. Most animals, domestic animals like that, they have instincts that lead them back to where they came from. Not always, but a lot of times that is the case. That's not true of sheep. Sheep don't have this homing instinct where they find their way back to where they came from. When they get lost, they get lost. And that's why I believe the Lord uses this analogy. He doesn't say, all we like dogs have gone astray. All we like cats have gone astray. He says, all we like sheep. This is a vivid picture of man as a sinner. And the thought that's brought before you and me is that of our wandering in sin. Because that's what sheep do. They wander. And this particular figure, this analogy of wandering or lost sheep, is actually used in a number of places in the Bible. And it's used to denote alienation or estrangement from God. And also the misery which results from that alienation and estrangement. For instance, let me read to you from the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 5 and 6. Speaking about people, they're likened here by the Lord to sheep, and he says, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Here they are, wandering sheep, in misery and in danger. Again, we find in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's looking out on crowds of people. And the Bible says in Matthew 9 verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. I always wonder how some of these so-called hyper-Calvinistic preachers deal with this. How do they explain this? Because frankly, I don't see them being very moved with compassion on people. But here's the Son of God in the days of his flesh. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. He felt for them. His heart went out to them. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The sheep that has wandered and gone astray is a sheep that's outside of the care of the shepherd. He's separated from the shepherd. He's outside of the fold. He's not with the rest of the flock. He's lost and he's wandering. And isn't this God's description of the natural man? The natural man is not one who is moving toward the shepherd. He's not one who is on a quest to find the shepherd, but he's actually wandering away from the shepherd. And Peter, in the verse that I just quoted, mentions that, "For ye were as sheep going astray." In the Bible, it's never the shepherd who is seen to be leaving the sheep when God speaks about himself and the sinner. It's always the sheep that goes astray and leaves the shepherd. I'll give you a scripture from Psalm 119. It's verse 176, the very last verse of Psalm 119. "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Doesn't the Bible tell us in Romans chapter 3, there is none, that means not one, that seeketh after God? The sheep wander away. This is the natural man. The figure, the type is most appropriate because sheep are creatures to which going astray seems to be endemic. It's the natural thing. You leave sheep to themselves, inevitably, they will wander and they will stray. And so it is with us. Can we not say, even those of us who are saved tonight, there was a time when we wandered away from the Lord? The hymn writer put it this way, "I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home." Did we not wander away from the Lord? Did we not wander even very far away from the Lord? Every person here tonight who's truly a believer was once a lost sheep. And when sheep wander, they are estranged from the person of the shepherd. They're no longer under his rule and his care. And that's exactly the sinner's position. One who was created with the capacity to know God, to have fellowship with God, has strayed from God as the supreme object of his love and devotion. He's not in touch with God. That's why when you hear people who are not saved talking about, "Oh, well, I say my prayers every night and I do this religious exercise and that religious exercise," you feel like saying to them, you're wasting your time and your breath. Because if you're not in communion and fellowship with God, if you're not saved, then all that you're doing is but religious exercise without the heart. A lost sheep. A sinner who is a lost sheep has strayed not only from the Lord himself, but from the law of God. From the shepherd's rule and government and guidance. He's not under the authority of the shepherd. This is the position that sinful people find themselves in. They have gone astray. They've wandered away from God. This is bad news. Bad news of our wandering in sin. But the text also reveals the bad news of our willfulness in sin. You see the second part of the text. We have turned every one to his own way. Not only is the picture here of sheep who have wandered, they've gone astray, they've gotten lost, they've gotten away from the fold, they're out in the mountains wild and bare, but also have turned every one, every individual one, to his own way. Now, sheep that wander just go their own way. They go on a path of their own choosing. I'm not sure why it is that they go the way that they go. Maybe it's because they think that the grass over in this other place is greener, or whatever it may be. But they just go in a path of their own choosing for no particular reason. And if you contrast the sinner's manner of life with that of the converted man, it's really telling. For instance, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul wrote this. 2 Corinthians 5:15. speaking of Christ, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth, or from now on, live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So they're not self-centered anymore. They're not living for themselves. They're living for him. And then, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21, we read, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's." So there's a contrast. In the one text, we have those who now are living unto him. And in this text, all seek their own, not the things which are Christ's. This is the mark of the unregenerate, unsaved, unconverted man. Self-will and self-centeredness. He lives to please himself. That's the problem with the sinner. The Bible teaches us that each and every one of us was made to live unto God and his glory. The Catechism has it right. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's our end. That's our goal. That's what we were created for, to bring glory to God. But the sinner without God is self-centered and self-willed. We have turned everyone to his own way. We have turned to live unto ourselves and what pleases us. It has rightly been said, I think, I is at the center of sin. You know, it's a very easy word to spell, S-I-N, and I is at the center. It's in the very middle of sin. Essentially, that's what sin is. It's self-centeredness. We don't want God's way, we want our own way. Men, just like sheep do, they go in their own path, and they do so willfully and deliberately. Now, I know that this is a point that I like to make often, and I'm going to make it again tonight. Because frankly, I get tired listening to it. I hear preachers saying it, not evangelical preachers, but I hear it even in the media when some character does something really bad, and he comes before the microphones on the television and he talks about the mistake that he made. You've heard that. We've seen politicians do that. There was a famous case, or an infamous one, of a politician in South Carolina who decided when he was on a trip to Argentina to get involved with a woman down there, and he ended up leaving his own wife and going off with that woman. And he came in front of the cameras because he had to explain why he spent public money to go and see this lady in South America. It all blew up, resulted in him having to leave his position. But it was a mistake. No, it wasn't. It wasn't a mistake. A mistake is when you write down on a piece of paper 4 plus 4 equals 7. That's a mistake. You didn't mean to do it. You didn't deliberately get 7, but just because of your own lack of ability in the mathematical area, you got it wrong. That's a mistake. But what we're talking about, where sin is concerned, it's not a mistake. It's deliberate. It's deliberate. Sin is not just a mere error in somebody's calculations. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." And then it says this, "We have turned." That's deliberate. That's willful. "We have turned everyone to his own way." The next time you hear some celebrity or some movie star or some politician stand up in front of the cameras and they're all apologetic and the dutiful wife who has been betrayed standing beside them and they're talking about the mistake that they made, just think about this. It's not a mistake. It's deliberate. It's not God's fault that men have gone astray. It's not because sinners lacked the right information. You and I are willful, willing rebels. I know I grew up in the city, but the country was minutes away always. I was very used to this, where you were driving on country roads and you see a cow in the middle of the road or some other animal, and you think, wow, that cow shouldn't be there, or that young bullock shouldn't be there. What has happened? He's broken out. See, over there, there's loads of fields that have fences. They're actually hedges. And the hedges are really easy to break through. Really easy. Especially an animal that's determined to get out. And he sees that little hole in the hedge, and boy, he says, I'm going out of there because there's really nice grass on the other side of that road. Out he goes. We call that breaking out. That's what animals do. They sometimes break out and they go wandering. And you'll find them half a mile or a mile down the road from the farm where they should be. And eventually somebody rounds them up, the police get involved, and the animal gets brought back to where he should be. But it's not an accident. The animal doesn't do that by accident. He does it deliberately. He wants to get out. He desires to get out. And so he breaks through the hedge. Do you know the Bible talks about that in Ecclesiastes, about one who breaks through the hedge, a serpent shall bite him? This is a deliberate thing. So away with this idea that the sinner has made a mistake, or is some kind of an accident that he's got into sin. He has turned from his own way. He has turned unto his own way. He has turned from God's way to that way of his own, because there's an unwillingness on his part to be hemmed in by the law of God. You know, that's what's wrong with our society. People don't want to be hedged up to God's law. They don't want to be restricted by God's restrictions. They want to do whatever they like. Oh, nobody will tell me what to do. I'll do that if I want to do it. That's the attitude, isn't it? And this is the natural heart. This is the natural mind. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind, and that word carnal really means the natural mind. The mind as it is by nature is what? Enmity against God. Man is naturally not the friend of God, the enemy of God. Because that mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, neither in the flesh cannot please God. This is an important point for us to understand. Man's willfulness in sin. God says in his word, thou shalt not. And the sinner responds, I shall. God says in his word, thou shalt. And the sinner says, I shall not. That's willfulness. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one unto his own way. So this text, Isaiah 53 verse 6, actually identifies the problem of sin. And it's talking about original sin. I don't mean just sins that we perform. I mean the actual sinful condition that we are in. This text identifies the problem of original sin. It doesn't refer merely to individual acts of wickedness, but to the great malady, the great disease of original sin that we all have. And notice the collective pronoun here. All we like sheep. We have turned everyone to his own way, but it's we. All of us have done this. We've turned to our own way. That literally means to a course of our own. You think of that word way. We've turned everyone to his own way. It actually refers to a course of life. So that now in our sinful condition, we're living to please ourselves rather than God. And that's what men and women do. They go, each and every one of them, in their own path. And you think about it, in society, there are some people who go in their own path, and it is a religious path. There are people who go in a religious path. They're quite moral. They're sort of upright and decent citizens. But they go in a religious path. They have religion, but they don't have Christ. But that's the way that they go, and it's just as bad as others who go in the way of downright profligacy and iniquity. Because in both cases, it's their own way and not God's way. We have turned each and every one of us to his own way. And this text shows us the bad news that we need to understand about this. Our willfulness in sin, our wandering in sin. And then there's this, the bad news of our wretchedness in sin. The sheep that have gone astray here are in a terrible plight because they're not capable of finding their way back to the shepherd. That's really implicit in the words gone astray. I was looking at this, and the words gone astray actually refers to someone vacillating. You know what it means to vacillate? To go back and forth. It could be translated to reel or to stagger or to stray. They've gone astray. They're going in all kinds of directions, reeling and staggering and straying. The word can also signify, by the way, excitement and agitation or even seduction. So everyone who's turned to his own way is a person who is moving about without any fixed destination. He is quite literally lost. I don't know if you've ever been in a position where you've been genuinely lost. But it's not a nice feeling. Especially if you're in a place where you are completely unfamiliar with and you literally have no earthly idea of where you are. Once as a child, I went with my family on a vacation to the south of Ireland, and we were staying in a cottage someplace. I remember our dad took us out one night, me and my sisters and my cousin. We were wandering about and we hadn't a clue where we were. And that's before there were ever any cell phones, we had no compass, nothing. And my dad did not know the way back to the house we were staying at. And we were way out in the middle of the wasteland somewhere. And this person, who we suspected later on didn't want us to find our way back to the right place, directed us in a particular way that led us into a peat bog. Now, if you don't know what a peat bog is, believe me, you don't want to get into one. Because it's wet, it's marshy, and you're liable to be up to your waist in dirt and muck. Just not a pleasant place to be. We ended up in a peat bog. I think up to our knees in dirt, we were in a real mess. And how we ever got back to that cottage, I have no clue. But I know it was getting dark, and it was a really bad feeling to be lost. This is just an illustration of what it's like to be a lost sheep. The sheep is confused. The sheep is ignorant. The sheep is incapable of choosing the right path. And what bad news that is for a sinner. Having departed from God, he's unable to return by himself. He simply can't. He is incapable of bringing himself into a right path again. One old writer put it like this: I could wander by myself, but I could not return by myself. That's absolutely true. And this is the picture that we find in Luke chapter 15. In the parable, there's a sheep that's lost and straying. The hymn writer embellished that a little bit, but he talked about out on the mountains, wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. That's where the sheep was. This is the picture also in Ezekiel 34 of a sheep lost and straying that literally has to be sought after and has to be found by the shepherd. And men and women, as believers in Christ, this is why we have to pray for sinners. This is why we do pray for sinners. Because they're not capable of coming themselves to the Lord. They're not capable. The Lord must give them the will. The Lord must give them the understanding. The Lord must bring the lost sheep back. It has to be sought after, and it has to be found by the shepherd. So the hymn writer was absolutely right, wasn't he, when he said, I was lost, but Jesus found me. Found the sheep that went astray. Threw his loving arms around me. Drew me back into his way. That would never have happened if he had not sought after me. This is bad news for those of an Arminian persuasion, a semi-Pelagian or Pelagian persuasion. I've got to tell you, the sheep does not return of its own accord. It doesn't. It won't. If it ever returns, it'll be because the shepherd brings it back. You know, sometimes a sheep that goes astray makes its way along a path that ends in a precipice and death. Many a sheep, to the sad discovery of the shepherd, has been found at the bottom of a cliff or a ravine. It's gotten away from the flock, it's gotten away from the shepherd, it's got into a position it could not extricate itself from, and it has fallen to its death. And that's a sad thing. And that happens to sinners. It happens to young people. It happens to older people. The Bible tells us in the Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The ways of death. You know, it's a sad thing, especially when people who have been under the gospel end up in a bad state. They go out into eternity, and as far as everyone knows, they never got right with God. That's a terrible, terrible thing. The news of the gospel is bad news, first and foremost, but it's necessary to preach it. It's an accurate story of man's sinful condition. It's really just Isaiah 53 verse 6, a reflection of other scriptures. It's really just a repetition of what we find in other scriptures. Romans 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short," or are constantly coming short of the glory of God. Or Romans 5 verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned," or "in that all have sinned." This is the bad news. One old preacher said, "Adam, the old bellwether, went out over the fence long ago, and every last son of Adam has gone over the fence ever since. In Adam, all die." All of the sheep have gone astray. All of the sheep are lost. Unless the shepherd in his mercy goes out after them and finds them. And thank God that is what the Lord does. The Lord is our shepherd. He is spoken of in the scripture as the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. The great shepherd of the sheep who's raised from the dead by the blood. And the chief shepherd who shall appear. He is the shepherd. And what we read of the good shepherd in John chapter 10 is that the good shepherd literally does lay down his life for the sheep. And that's what the second part of Isaiah 53 talks about. And we'll not be getting to that tonight, but I just want to mention it in closing. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. That's bad news. But look at the good news. "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." This blessed news of God's mercy in salvation is the news that every sinner needs to hear. But before he ever hears that message, he needs to hear the first part. We're lost. We're undone. We've gone astray. We've turned to each one his own way. We're in a bad state without the mercy of God. We're in a hopeless state without the mercy of God. We're in a helpless state without the mercy of God. This is the message that sinners need to hear. Didn't the Lord Jesus say, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick"? So I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You're not going to go and see about yourself and what is wrong with you if you don't think there's anything wrong with you. But when you know and you're convinced that something's not right, off to the doctor you go. They that be whole, those who are well physically, need not a physician. They don't need the doctor, but they that are sick. And the doctor is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the physician. Thank God we can say, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There's a remedy for sin. There is a physician. There is a shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And he's the one who brings the sheep back in his arms and on his shoulders, rejoicing. And this is what we pray will happen through the preaching of the word and through our witness each and every day, that the Lord will show these lost sheep just how lost they are, and he will bring them on his shoulders and find them and save them. May the Lord do that repeatedly in our church, in our ministry, in our daily lives. May the Lord enable us to reach the lost sheep for him. Amen and amen.